Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome to today's program Christy Montgomery, who is VP of Kenko Innovation Labs, which is part of the Kenko Group. And today we're going to talk about making the Internet of Things work in supply chain. Now, Internet of Things is probably one of the hottest buzzwords in the industry today. You can't pick up a industry trade publication or read a blog post that in some way, doesn't mention, IoT. But one of the challenges is when you have, something that, a topic like this creates a lot of buzz, a lot of hype, is a lot of companies read about it, but they don't know quite how to get started or what steps to take to actually derive value from some of these emerging technologies. And, Christy's been at kind of the forefront of this over at Kenko with the Innovation Labs and in talking to clients about this. So, really grateful to have her on the program today to share some of the insights and lessons learned, with her activities with IoT to date. So, great to have Christy on the program. I just want to remind those of you that are, joining us live today that part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So if you have a question for Christy as we're having our conversation here, you can do so via the Submit a Question button. And I'll keep an eye on it. And if it's a good and appropriate question and we've got time, I'll certainly weave it into the conversation. So with that, Christy, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Adrian. It's great to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Great. So Christy, you're a first-time guest here on Talking Logistics, and one of the things I always like to do when we have someone new on the program is just to, before we dive into the topic, is just to get a sense about how and why you got involved with supply chain and logistics to begin with. So why don't you briefly tell us a little bit about your career path, again, how and why you got involved with supply chain logistics, and what your current role and responsibilities are there at Kenko?
Sure. So I'm a technologist at heart. When I graduated from college with a computer science degree, I interviewed with a number of companies. Kenko was really the one that intrigued me. I honestly didn't know a whole lot about supply chain or logistics, but wanted to learn and thought it was really an exciting opportunity. And so I joined the company right out of college, and I was involved in electronic payroll processing when I first came to Kenko. I then moved into more of the sales and marketing role and did a lot of online marketing and things like that. Also got involved in an employee communication project to improve our own internal employee morale and things like that. And throughout all of this, technology was obviously a big part of those different roles. However, in around 2000, that kind of became my sole focus here at Kenko, and I started managing the IT function here at Kenko and spent 15 years of my career in supply chain technology, which was a natural lead-in to going into the innovation role. So Kenko has always been a very innovative 3PL. But last year, we made a decision as an organization. Our leadership decided that we needed to take it to the next level. And so we formed the Kenko Innovation Labs initiative, and I took on the role of VP there, and it's a really exciting time for Kenko.
That's great. Great, career path there. And certainly, technology has only become even more and more important in the role of third-party logistics and in how customers, view the value proposition of third-party logistics. Technology's really coming to the forefront of the value proposition. So let's talk a little bit about, the topic now, Internet of Things. Like I said in my opening comments, there's a lot of buzz and hype, around this. So why don't we start with just kind of a basic question? What is, the Internet of Things, and why is there so much buzz and hype around it, particularly around supply chain management?
Well, it's interesting, Adrian. So the Internet of Things phrase has been around since the late 90s. So it's not really a new term. But, it really merely refers to simply the interconnectedness of devices, objects, i.e. things, being able to talk to each other and communicate through the internet. So it's a pretty simple concept. The Internet of Things very well describes it. And the reason why it's become so popular in the most recent years is because we now have a much lower cost of entry and a much smaller size of the microprocessors required to allow these objects and things to connect and communicate. And so when you think about that, just as the internet, itself changed the world when it became mainstream, we believe the Internet of Things has the same opportunity in the coming years to change how we think about life, how we are more productive, more efficient, and allow humans to move more into a role of complex thinking versus routine tasks. So when you then apply that to the supply chain, you think about the holy grail of logistics and supply chain, which is having true end-to-end visibility and transparency throughout the entire process. And this Internet of Things really may bring this to reality for us in the coming years.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, one of the things that you know, I hear consistently, you know, from many executives is that, you know, the need to make smarter decisions faster. And part of the objective there is, you know, really having a more real-time pulse of what's happening, you know, across the supply chains. And you know, when you look at some of the traditional ways of communicating information and data, let's say like EDI, right, which inherently has some latency built in and so on and so forth, you know, I think part of the promise is that by having this more real-time communication in place, you know, it's going to enable, you know, executives to make smarter decisions faster and obviously be able to then even move on to, you know, higher forms in analytics and even moving toward, you know, predictive analytics. Do you see that as well?
Absolutely. So I think when we talk about Internet of Things and the real value, you look at the fact that it delivers actionable data. So it's not just information for information's sake, but it allows me to then make decisions and make quicker decisions and make smarter decisions within my supply chain. Things like we've all talked about just in time in the supply chain. Well, this will enable that concept and allow us to be much quicker in moving and responding. And, you know, as a 3PL, what we hear consistently from our clients is they choose to outsource because they look for flexibility. And we believe that Internet of Things is one of those things that's going to lead us and allow us to be more agile and more flexible in the future.
Yeah, great point. Like I said, you know, the hardest part for a lot of companies is, you know, particularly when you read so much about this and, you know, all the hype and everything else, is trying to figure out, you know, where and how to, you know, get started. I mean, so what should the first step be, you know, for companies? And I guess conversely, I mean, what's the biggest mistake a company could make, you know, as they start to engage or start to kick off an IoT initiative?
Great question. So I've seen a lot of failures, so I can talk about the mistakes. But I've also seen some great successes. And as with any project, I don't think this is exclusive to Internet of Things, I would say start with defining your problem. What is it that you're trying to overcome? What challenge are you trying to overcome? What pain point do you have? What is your issue? Where are you sub-optimized that you think potentially Internet of Things is going to help you? Really defining where are the gaps in my process today and starting at that point to say, okay, here's where I need to go with this Internet of Things. And then taking a look at, is that really the right solution to solve that problem? Obviously, Internet of Things is all about getting all the data now that I need to analyze at the right time to do something about it. So let's make sure your problem is something that really the Internet of Things will solve as you look at it. But it's just like any other project. Start with the problem definition. Let's start with trying to figure out what we're trying to get to. When you look at the biggest mistakes, so I've seen a lot of colleagues take a look at a new technology like this and see the flashy, the wow factor, the cool, and present that to their leadership and show how these really neat dashboards are going to give you all this information at your fingertips, which is awesome. But then when they deliver the product, the information is not really valuable, or the data that's being released is not really valuable when it comes to bringing, you know, true cost savings to the bottom line. And so I've seen some failures and some colleagues actually lose their jobs over, you know, presenting the wow factor and not really getting to what is it going to deliver to my bottom line at the end of the day.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great point. I mean, and you're right. You see this not only with things like Internet of Things, just about everything involving technology, where it's very easy to get enamored with, you know, the bright new shiny thing, right? But if it becomes a solution in search of a problem, then you're right from the get-go setting yourself up for failure. So I think you hit the nail on the head. You really have to understand, Where are the opportunities? Where are the challenges? What's the problem that you're trying to solve, right? It might be, that you're have some black holes in your supply chain, or that you have too much inventory and you're looking for ways to reduce the inventory. Whatever that supply chain problem is or opportunity exists, is really clearly defining that before, looking to see if Internet of Things approach would be the right path forward to address those. I think the other thing that's common, regardless of the technology, is, developing the business case, right? So, and coming up with determining its potential return on investment. I mean, where are companies finding the biggest opportunities for benefits around Internet of Things, and how do you quantify those benefits?
So we've talked about it a little bit already, Adrian. That ability to have actionable data, real time, in a manner that allows me to be agile and flexible. So I'll give you an example. Maybe I can tell the story better than I can explain it. So if you look at an opportunity in a warehouse to reduce some waste and some cost, and let's say we have a robot in the kitting area who's doing kitting functions, and that robot is part of the Internet of Things. He's connected. And there is a trigger that happens when he gets to a minimum number of components that he needs to finish creating the kits for perhaps a just-in-time inventory delivery. So he sends a trigger to the WMS that says, "Hey, I'm low on this inventory. I need a replenishment." That's an automatic event that happens through the Internet of Things. The WMS then takes a look at, using real-time sensor data from a lift truck, where is that lift within the warehouse and who's closest to the product that can replan my kitting area. And then at that point, that lift truck is sent through the Internet of Things from the WMS, potentially to a wearable device or to an RF gun. You need to go pick this product and send it over to the kitting area. And it could be interleaved with other tasks so that it doesn't happen as a one-off. It's very much part of what he's already working on. So that is then delivered to the kitting line, and you therefore, if you think about it, you've reduced waste in somebody having to manually key in a replenishment. You've reduced waste in travel time because you didn't send a lift from, one side of the warehouse to the other to pick this up. You've reduced waste in one-off processing of fulfilling that replenishment. You've potentially reduced waste on your kitting line when someone ran out of the components before the replenishment could be done. And you could take that further and further down the line. Perhaps I've not missed shipments because I was able to get that to the kitting line quickly enough. So you can carry this thought process through and look at where there are potentials to reduce waste in the process today or to automate things, and get that data much quicker and therefore fulfill your processes in your warehouse much quicker.
Yeah, I think that's a great example. It kind of shows kind of the ripple effect, if you will, of how the technology can impact, it might start at one process, but it can have that ripple effect in terms of driving, improvement and efficiencies across all the other processes that are interconnected, to it. I think as we've already talked about, Internet of Things kind of enables companies to collect, more data from more sources on a real-time basis. But more data is not necessarily better either, right? I mean, we all know that a lot of companies are already drowning, in tons of data. And most of that data is either, incorrect or incomplete or outdated today. I mean, does IoT, Internet of Things, have the potential to make, matters worse for companies? Or is this a potential solution to that data quality, data management problem that companies have? I mean, in other words, how can companies maximize the value and the effectiveness of the data that IoT helps to provide?
Adrian, I believe that the Internet of Things is going to lend itself to better data quality in the future. I think data management is going to continue to be an issue simply because there's going to be more data generated by these devices. So Gartner predicts that in 2020, there are going to be 212 billion devices connected to the Internet, all delivering intelligent data that allows us to do something. So the data management, I think, is going to be a problem even into the future. But as we continue to see standards developed around these Internet of Things, you're going to see the data normalized to some extent in machine-to-machine communication, which is going to allow for a much better data quality that's being delivered. Now, I will caution that you still have to look at the data in the context of what you need to use it for. So in the example that I just gave you about the robot in the kitting area, we have some robots that we're working with in our labs, and we find that they generate data on almost every movement they make. So if I'm trying to reduce waste and replenishment, I don't care if the robot lifted his arm over his head 15 times a day. What do I need to do with that data? So when you speak to data management, you're absolutely right. What is the context of what data do you need, and how do you intend to use it? I do think data quality will be better. I do think you'll have less incomplete data, less inaccurate data. However, you're going to have a lot more data. So really taking a look at how do you need to use that data, again, going back to what's the problem you're trying to solve, what's the process you're trying to improve, and defining how you need to get that data to make decisions versus just data for data's sake is going to be a really key success factor for the Internet of Things.
Yeah, great, great points. I mean, there's a couple of things you said that I think, resonate with me. You know, first is really linking it back to going back to that first step, which is really defining the problem or the opportunity that you're going after so that you then know what data you need in support of achieving that goal or objective. I think it's the same thing that you find with companies that have, you know, too many metrics, right? And a lot of those metrics probably are not necessary and probably get in the way or create too much noise in terms of trying to really align with the ultimate objective. And I think the other point you just said there at the end, I think is, very true, is that, you know, it's not data for the sake of just gathering data, but it's data in support of making decisions, right? So this really ties into, decision making. So I think those two things, go together real nice. So let's talk about, obviously you work at, a third party logistics provider. You're working with clients in this area. You know, there's technology companies and vendors that are part of the ecosystem here that make Internet of Things work. I mean, how can companies work more effectively, or what's the role of technology companies and 3PLs in helping companies with their IoT initiatives?
Well, I think that as with any outsourced project, there's opportunity to leverage what the 3PL and your software vendor have already done in their past experience, the projects they've already implemented around Internet of Things, and the best practices they've discovered, the lessons learned, and so that you don't have to go through some of those same pain points that perhaps they did, but also that you would expect them to be experts in this area and how it impacts the supply chain and how it can potentially help you. And if you're already outsourced to a 3PL, bringing them into that process and letting them help you define the problem, the places where you have the greatest pain points within your supply chain, obviously that they can bring significant value there. The vendor can help you with your ROI. You have to be careful in taking the vendor's ROI, but certainly they know a lot about where they've seen value brought to a process with IoT. So bringing them in early in the process to help define the problem and define the ROI there can be great. And we've seen a lot of success in our customers allowing us to run a proof of concept in partnership with the vendor on their behalf so that we can help them prove out or disprove their presumptions about what the Internet of Things project was going to do for them. So the 3PL can bring expertise to the table to allow you to run that pilot program and determine, is it really going to have the impact that I thought it was going to have?
Yeah, great ideas there. And obviously, like you mentioned before, you're doing some Internet of Things, initiatives and testing and so forth as part of the Kenko Innovation Labs. Can you share with us a little bit about, some of the work you've been doing there? And I assume some of these were kind of customer led, and just try to get a sense of kind of what your experience has been and what maybe some of the lessons learned or some of the capabilities that you're seeing out there.
Sure. So I'll talk a little bit about a couple of projects we have going on in different phases of implementation. And one of them is customer led. One of them is completely led by our innovation labs. So we have been working with one of our larger customers on using an Internet of Things Bluetooth tagging technology where as an alternative to RFID, where you have antennas mounted in the ceiling, much like you do with RFID, but you also have readers mounted on lift trucks that are capturing real time where the inventory is in the building at any given time. So tags are mounted on the inventory itself. And then as the lift trucks move around the warehouse, they're constantly reporting back real time where that inventory is sitting. So we virtually eliminated any type of cycle counting and physical inventory and those type of functions within the facility. The other benefit of the solution is that it alerts when a product has been moved more than 1 inch from the place where it's supposed to be in the warehouse. So it knows the locations, it knows the stows, and the moment it's moved where it's not supposed to be, an alert is sent to the lift driver that moved it, and he cannot perform another function until he puts that product back where it's supposed to be. So again, eliminating some of those more routine functions of cycle counting and physical inventory has been a great boon, and they are projecting that they'll save several $100,000 a year with this project. So this was started out as a proof of concept, and now it's in the implementation phases. Another project that we're working on that's completely led by our labs is an augmented reality in warehouse functions project, and we are one of 200 test developers to receive the Microsoft HoloLens. And we have developed over 20 use cases for how we can apply augmented reality into the warehouse space. And so we've developed a demo of three of those and are working on the fourth one right now. So this one is more funded and pushed by our labs to kind of show our customers, here are some opportunities that we believe are really going to manifest themselves in the next few years. Obviously, this product is beta. It's definitely a prototype. But we believe part of our goal and our job at Kenco Innovation Labs is to stay on top of some of these emerging technologies and find ways for them to bring value to the supply chain, or in some cases, disprove the fact that they're going to bring any value to the supply chain and set them aside. But at that point, we've done the research, and we can come to our customers with that education and that knowledge to say, don't waste your time on this particular product because it's not going to be of value to you in the end. So there's a couple of projects. We have a number underway. I mentioned robots earlier. We're also working with drones both inside and outside the warehouse. Some of that, again, customer led. Some of that, you know, us partnering with a particular vendor. We talked about partnerships with 3PLs and vendors earlier. You know, we're partnering with a vendor to really figure out how that can work well inside the warehouse. So a number of projects underway. A lot of them funded by customers or led by customers. A lot of them we're doing on our own because we believe that's part of our mission and our charge as Kenco Innovation Labs.
Well, you know, I think one of the things you said there was really important. I mean, part of it is, you know, I think there's a lot of learning even in discovering that a particular technology won't work, right? Or it's not ready to work today, right? So I think it's not only trying to force something to work or trying to force it, right? But it's just as part of the learning process, learning where the shortcomings are is helpful for everybody in the ecosystem, right? Because you can provide that feedback back to the technology companies in terms of this is why it won't work today as of now in our environment, as an example. Or, you know, unless you actually try it and get your hands dirty, you know, you might discover uses for it that maybe going in you hadn't even thought of. But, you know, it's one thing to look at a PowerPoint presentation or to sit, you know, behind the desk and just kind of imagine how this might work. It's another thing to learn by actually doing, all right? And I think that's the most powerful, you know, way to, you know, really, you know, see what the opportunities are. Which means I'm going to have to take a tour of that innovation lab at some point down the road because it sounds there's a lot of cool stuff going on there. You know, Kristy, we're kind of coming up short on time, so I think I'm just going to go right to my last question here, kind of as a way to wrap up. And I know you had written a blog post recently where you talked about some of these steps that companies should consider when they're putting together an IoT initiative, and you've touched upon many of them, you know, today, but kind of as a way to wrap up, I mean, what other steps should companies take to ensure that they're, you know, that they have a smooth path to their Internet of Things, you know, implementation and success?
Sure. So first of all, let me say you're welcome to come see the lab anytime you'd like. But I'll talk about two other keys for success, and I'd love for folks to go check out the blog post and see the 10 that I've kind of outlined there. But you heard me talk a lot in this conversation about pilots and proofs of concept. Internet of Things is a relatively new emerging technology, and there are a lot of assumptions made by companies as they go into a project. And we find that doing a limited rollout of an IoT solution can first of all be inexpensive potentially and lead you to the conclusions that you hoped would happen. You'll see what you expected. Sometimes you'll see that it disproves what you thought would happen, or maybe hopefully it exceeds your expectations and it's definitely a go. But you want to prove out that ROI in practice. You want to see it, how it works inside your operation. Does the data that you thought was going to be brought out by this IoT project really get delivered? Is it really actionable? Is it real time like you thought it was going to be? Does it in fact solve your problem definition that you created in the beginning? And hopefully all that is a yes and you can move forward with the full project. But we're firm believers in proving out the concept before you go with a full-blown implementation. And one of the side effects and one of the cool things that you'll often see is how it impacts your workforce. And that's something that a lot of people don't think about is kind of the human resource side of it. So I'll end with the point that I think it's very important for you to get everybody on board. Change management and communication is so critical in any project that you do, but particularly when you think about a technology solution. So I've talked about robots a couple times today. As you can imagine, when you bring a robot onto the warehouse floor, your warehouse associates can start to get very threatened and feel very concerned about their job. And so starting at the beginning with communication of how and why and what you're doing and how it's going to give them a better opportunity to do more complex thinking and functioning can be enormously important to the success of your project at the end of the day. So don't forget the human resources and their potential to either torpedo or bring value to your IoT project.
Yeah, that's a great point at the end. I think that, you know, there's always the human factor cannot be, you know, underestimated here. And you know, like everything else, you know, change management and the introduction of new technology, you know, the initial inclination is always to resist change, to resist anything that, particularly if they view it as a threat to their, you know, their current job or what they're currently doing. And you know, I think involving, you know, particularly folks in the front lines are going to be, you know, the ones that are going to be working together with this technology are going to be driving, help drive it. Ultimately, you know, you have to get their buy-in as well, as much as you have to get the buy-in from upper management to fund it, if you will, and get it going. Christy, you know, like I always say at the end of all our episodes, you know, we always manage to scratch the surface on these topics, but I think you provided some great, you know, insight and words of advice. Again, I recommend folks to read that blog post to kind of, you know, review some of these points that you talked to about today. But certainly, again, I want to thank you for making the time to, you know, share your perspective and thoughts with us today.
Thank you so much, Adrian.
You know, I want to thank those of you that joined us live today. We didn't get any questions live, but if you are watching this episode on demand and you've got a question for Christy, you can find this episode on talkinglogistics.com and you can, you know, post your comment or question there. And I'm sure that Christy will be more than happy to respond via that medium. Again, thank you all for joining us today and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.